You'd think a movie about rock and roll radio wouldn't need a music passage on the soundtrack from Sir Edward Elgar's stiff upper-lipped Enigma variations, but pirate radio does. Familiar strains of this legendary work by Sir Edward are used to underscore the determination shown by a band of rock jocks who won't give up pumping 24/7 broadcasts of 60s pop music into the rockless ether of Great Britain, and all of it from a ship in the North Sea. The reason this story must come from truth is because the broadcast phenomenon just off the English coast was developed by an Irishman. How could it have happened any other way? It's easy to understand why Elgar's heroic music works so well for the scene. The non-profit government-run BBC was too far above it all to program rock music. And as a disgruntled pirate jock says in the film, quote, "Governments loathe people having their freedom," unquote. A neat concept for conflict in a pop music movie, don't you think? Big government trying to bring down an entrepreneurial go at it to provide commercial rock radio for the English, just like Gordon McClendon and all those other fancy American rock and roll broadcast executives did earlier in the colonies. Scheming to scuttle the vessel Radio Rock, or more accurately, Radio Caroline or Britain Radio, is the twit of twits. A British bureaucrat called Sir Alistair Dormandy, done by the excellent Kenneth Branagh. Sir Alistair is outraged by anyone thumbing a nose at government authority. Besides, Sir Alistair is certain the music these blokes are playing on that bloody at-sea radio station of theirs is pure pornography. A really fine English actor, Bill Nighy, has the part of Quentin. He's the station owner, manager, and ship's captain. Quentin dresses much like one would think an English radio time salesman might, but certainly not like Sir Alistair. Which brings me to what kind of attire the on-air staff wears. But no need to go into that. Anyone who's ever worked in radio or been at a radio station knows what kinds of togs such creative broadcast geniuses come to work in. Radio Rock's jock squad is headed up by a Yank who's made a name for himself in the colonies. He's called the Count and played by Philip Seymour Hoffman. Just as you might imagine, Mr. Hoffman would likely play the character. Some of Radio Rock's other personalities are Dr. Dave, Thick Kevin, Angus the Nut Nutsford, Simple Simon Swafford, Midnight Mark, Gavin, and newsreader On the Hour John. These guys, like so many radio people I've known, excel at having a good time, if you know what I mean. A party is always going on, whether on deck, the bilge, a crew member's private quarters, the record library, or Radio Rock's control room. That's where all the music comes from and is heard throughout the film. Pirate radio is as reality-based as an Esther Williams swim film. But having been in the radio biz, I kept looking for a hint of what's real broadcasting. There's not so much of that in the picture, even though the studio equipment looks about right for 60s radio, and the music, it's just right too, and so well edited with what's happening on the screen. Bursts of Mick and the Stones, as well as the Who, stand out. And if I wasn't in a trance at the time, I think I also heard Herb Alpert singing Burt Bacharach's This Guy's in Love with You. Where's Lanny Hall now when we really need her? Richard Curtis has directed pirate radio with not much arc to his story. Segments of the film alternate between what's going on with the jocks aboard ship and the machinations being hatched against them by the bureaucrats in London. Events in either locale give the film only sluggish forward motion. I felt pirate radio vamps too much with sitcom-like antics that don't take full advantage of the narrative's intrinsic conflict, or how exigencies such as, say, a transmitter meltdown, or maybe Quentin's closing a difficult sale on a zoned-out Radio Rock time buyer might be. The fact the entire bit is fact-based on an idea launched in 1964 off the British Isles begs for the movie to be more of a loopy quasi-documentary than the slapdash farce it is. The onboard scenes that show the jocks partying with their groupie guests get monotonous, even though there are moments when it's difficult to muzzle a guffaw on what's going down. These poor blokes, on air and on board, who struggle to get good commercial rock radio into BBC-bound Mother England, remind me of the mid-70s when I was involved in a successful effort to bring good non-commercial public radio for the first time to a rather traditional part of these United States. That was well before anyone had ever heard of Garrison's fishing hole up on Lake Wobegon. So expeditious, just like Radio Caroline still is today. I'm Gary Chu, down in the valley.